iladi bi meira yagayaleinu imashiya ben David. A third time, Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu Hatishbi, Eliyahu, Eliyahu, Eliyahu Agiladi, Bimehera Yavayaleinu, Imashiach Ben David. Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov, Agutevach, Shavua Tov, Agutevach, Agutevach, Shavua Tov, Agutevach. I wish all of you a wonderful week, a happy week, a sweet week, a healthy week, a week filled with joy, a week filled with meaning, inspiration. Hashem should give you all the encouragement that you need, and together we should hear good news and share good news, and hopefully this will be the week in which Eliyahu HaNavi will bring us the good news that Mashiach is finally here. L'chaim, everybody. L'chaim, l'chaim, l'vracha. Ladies and gentlemen, all of you who are joining us, I want to encourage you to fill up a little glass so we can say l'chaim together, and I'll tell you why. Because somebody pointed out to me, and I'm reading to you from an edited sikha of the Rebbe, that the Rebbe spoke about on a Shabbos. It was Parshat Korach. It was the first day of Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. And the Rebbe said, very interestingly, in the year is 1990, 5750, I'll read it to you in Yiddish and I'll translate it for you. Is a davar nochein biyoseh. It's exceptionally, exceedingly appropriate, said the Rebbe. As b'chodesh chodesh, that every Rosh Chodesh, and the Rebbe uses the words of today's Haftorah, midei chodesh b'chodesho, each Rosh Chodesh, zolin eden b'chol makoy mumakoy. Jewish people living in every single place. B'chol kihila, in every congregation, Beit HaKnesset, every house of worship, and that of course would include us, sich zusammenkleiben, that they should gather together, um machen ha-hisvados, they should make a verbrenning. Reden de Torah, to speak words of Torah, und zogen l'chaim, and they should say l'chaim. L'chaim v'l'vracha. Vinschen einen dem zweiten, that they should wish each other alle gute brachas, all good blessings. Und onnemen zusammen ha-chlotters tevis, they say, accept upon themselves positive and uplifting good resolutions in inyanim von Torah and mitzvahs, in all areas that are related to the study of Torah and performance of mitzvot, umbitech simcha v'tuv levav, and that it should be done with a spirit of joy and gladness of heart. Ahisvados shal simcha, it should be a fabrengen, a joyous fabrengen, upsak din haramah, as the ruling of Rabbeinu Moshe Isserlin, who writes the Mapa, the tablecloth of the Shulchan Aruch, Toiv Lev Mishta Tamil, the good of heart, are always having an opportunity to forbring together. So there you got it. The direct instruction from the Rebbe that we should gather together the forbring. And whilst we are living in a very, very strange age of COVID, and it's not possible for us to physically gather, we're gathering here on Zoom. I can't see most of you still, but we're still gathering here on Zoom. It's a form of gathering, and we could forbring together. We should be joyous together. We should encourage each other. So please, fill up a little glass and join me. Raise your glass up. L'chaim, l'chaim v'levracha, like the Rebbe told us to each and every one of you. Hashem should help us that very, very soon we should be together again, not only in spirit and not only virtually, but we should be physically together in the same place in our beloved shul. Even better that we should join together with all Yidden in the third base of Migdash. And this should be a week that's filled with joy and inspiration. L'chaim, 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 l'vracha. So, I want to share with you a couple of words. I'm assuming you're not in a terrible rush. I hope you're not. And it's Matzoi Rosh Chodesh. We know that when the Rebbe was convalescing, after his heart attack in 1977, for a period of several years, the Shabbos Mevorchim Fabrengens took place on Matzoi Shabbos. The Rebbe would always Fabreng on the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh. And during this time when he was unable to Fabreng on Shabbos, because the doctors didn't want him to strain himself to speak without a microphone, so the Rebbe would Fabreng on Matzoi Shabbos on Saturday night, and I've mentioned this many times already, and the Rebbe would call the Fabrengen the Shabbos Mevorchim Fabrengen. And invariably, if you listen to the recordings, I've listened to many of them, the Rebbe would talk about Shabbos Mevorchim. Very, very often, start the Fabrengen talking about the power of Shabbat and Shabbat Mevorchim, and where Shabbat Mevorchim comes from, even though it was Matzoi Shabbat. So from this we can learn that when we're unable to come together to Fabreng on Shabbat Kodesh, which is the reality of this shugana, insane present situation, that the Matzoi Shabbos, that Saturday night, becomes an appropriate way for us to commemorate and observe and celebrate that which we were supposed to do together on Shabbos. And also, we're going into, from Rosh Chodesh, this was the second day of Rosh Chodesh, so from the day of Rosh Chodesh now, we go into, from Aleph year into Beis year, which is the birth date of the fourth Rebbe in the Chabad Lubavitch dynasty, the Rebbe Maharash, Rebbe Shmuel, the son of the Tzemach Tzedek, the father of the Rebbe Rashab, and his zchus should shield each and every one of us in the Sfira Ta'omer. We have the various midot, 49 different days of the Omer correspond to 7 times 7, and each week we focus on a different midah, on a different emotional characteristic. The first week of Sfirat HaOmer we focus on Chesed, and the second week we focus on Gevura, and the third week we focus on Teferet, which literally means beauty, or sometimes translated as charisma. And each day of the week focuses on a different element. So the first day of Chesed is Chesed of Chesed, and then there's Gevura of Chesed, and then there's Tiferet of Chesed. Anyway, today is the third day of the third week, so it's Tiferet Shebet Tiferet, the beauty of beauty, and this is said to be the source of some of the fourth Rebbe's extraordinary ability, his incredible aptitude, his genius, and his remarkable talents, that his father, the Tzemach Tzedek, has something to do with the fact that it's Tiferet Shebet Tiferet. So today is Tiferet of Tiferet, that's the night they're going into. So L'chaim, everybody, L'chaim. We should have the blessings of Rosh Chodesh, and we should have the blessings of Beis Iyar and Tiferet Shebet Tiferet, and we should be able to encourage each other, and uplift each other, and inspire each other, and despite the limitations of living life fully during this very strange time, we should nonetheless be alive in our Yiddishkeit. We should be fired up in our Yiddishkeit, and we should experience the blessings of life in the most amazing way possible. Thank you. I see some of you joining me for L'chaim, and I'm grateful for that. It makes me feel connected with you, and this is a beautiful thing. So I want to talk about Rosh Chodesh Iyar first and foremost, and our little Fabrengen today. And the obvious reason is because we are in an age where our challenge is one of health. This is the issue of people who, Rahman al-Islam, become sick, and those who are in recovery. And I can tell you personally, even when you're not sick anymore, this terrible virus has a debilitating way of draining you of your koach, your strength, and it takes time to recover. It's not a simple thing. You need much more sleep, and you don't have the same koaches. So many of us are still recovering. Maybe she should give us all koyach. We should have a swift recovery. We should come back to ourselves. We should be even stronger than we were before and have more koyach than we had before. And those of you who are not ill, you shouldn't be ill. You shouldn't get sick. Hashem should protect you and shield you. You shouldn't know of this. It's a terrible illness. It ravages the body. Even when you're lucky and you don't end up at the hospital and you don't end up at the ventilator and Rahman al-San, who knows, so many have suffered worse consequences. So we should all be gesund. And this is especially connected to Rosh Chodesh Iyar, because as I mentioned during our little Zoom meeting before Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, the month, the entire month, and especially Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the year, is linked to the notion of good health and wellness. This is because it was in the month of Iyar that the Jewish people came to a source of water, a source of hydration, which is of great value to them. I mean, they're in the desert after all. And then they couldn't drink the water. Couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. The famous teaching of Rav Magid, the successor of the Baal Shem Tov, the Alter Rebbe's Rebbe, the Magid of Mizritch, he said, "Ki morim heim," because they were bitter, because they had such a terrible attitude. So they were bitter, the waters were bitter. But Hashem shows Moshe Rabbeinu away in Eitzah, a piece of wood, literally an Eitzah, it's an idiom. The word wood is also an idiom for the concept of advice, to mitigate the bitterness and to bring the people into a better state of health. When the water wasn't bitter anymore, they were able to drink and slake their thirst. And Hashem says in His Holy Torah, in the second month of the Jewish people, just literally weeks, less than a month after we had come into our own, we were born as a nation, that kol ha-machala shasanti b'mitzayim le'osim alecha, all the disease and malaise that I placed upon Egypt that I took you out of, le'osim alecha, I'm not going to place this disease upon you, I'll shield you from any illness. Why? Ki ani Hashem refecha, because I am the Lord God, your healer. And the words ani Hashem refecha, ani is aleph, and yud ke vav ke, God's name is spelled with a yud, and reish is refecha. And in 1984, at the Fabrengen of Shalos Avodim, the Rebbe asked that we know the halacha is that when you write ear in a ketubah, for example, you write it with two yuds. Somebody's getting married in Lag BaOmer, at the right ear, so you write 18 Shmoyna Asar Yoy, Lachedish ear, Aleph Yud Yud Resh. The Rebbe asked the question, how does that work with what says in Kisvi HaArizal, that this notion of ear represents the concept of Ani Hashem Refecha, which incidentally, this notion of Ani Hashem Refecha is brought in many places, but the halacha is very clear that it has to be written with two yuds. The Rebbe suggested an incredible way to explain this. He said that we know in today's day and age, but really this has its origins in antiquity, that the name of Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, is not pronounced that way. In fact, we're not allowed to pronounce that way. Even the witnesses who call themselves J-witnesses, we're not even allowed to say it that way. We're not allowed to say the name, the ineffable name of Hashem was only recited this way in the Beit HaMikdash. When the Kohen Gadol would verbalize this name explicitly, everybody, hundreds of thousands of Jewish people who had gathered in the Beit HaMikdash, maybe more, would fall on their faces. They would be overwhelmed by the holiness that was generated by Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, verbalizing explicitly this holy name of Hashem. So how do we verbalize the name Yudkei Vavkei? We say Havaya, but that's a euphemism. When we daven, when we read the Torah, how do we say it? When we pray, read from our siddur, how do we say it? We verbalize it as Adonai. And the Rebbe actually quotes a verse that serves as a source for this. Because we have a medrash. The medrash is found, the medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Chukas, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Almighty God, said to Adam HaRishon, Ani Mashmi, what is my name? Amalei, because Adam HaRishon had the wisdom to know everybody's name. You know, he knew the name of all the animals. He knew a horse is a sus, and an ox is a shor, and a cow is a pora. So Hashem said, what's my name? So Adam HaRishon said, Amalei Havaya. He said, Yudkei Vavkei. That's the wisdom God gave Adam HaRishon. And he says, Lefisha Ata Adon, because you are the master. So Adnai, I'm mispronouncing that purposely, the way we say it, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, is the way that we refer to Hashem. And it's based on this concept of this Medrash Tanchuma. So when you say the name of Hashem, it's written Yudkei Vavkei. That's how it's written in the Siddur, it's written in the Torah that way. But when the Baal Korah reads it to the Torah, and when we verbalize these verses, and when we do our prayers, we say Adnai. So therefore, Yudkei Vavkei begins with a Yud, and it ends, Adnai ends with a Yud. So the two Yuds become the bookends. The Yud's bookend, the two names of Hashem, Adnai and Yudkei Vavkei, starting with the Yud and ending with the Yud. So this is the shortened version of saying the names of Hashem, the name of Hashem as it's written and as it's spoken, a Yud in the beginning and a Yud at the end. And the Rebbe suggested that this is the reason that many Siddurim that were printed in Europe after the Gutenberg press was introduced, many Siddurim, remember, they didn't have endless ink and endless paper, and they tried to economize. They tried to get as many words as they could into the smallest amount of paper and of print. And so instead of printing out Hashem's name fully, they would write Yud in the Siddur. Many Siddurim until today are printed that way. And the Rebbe suggested that that's because it took the two names of Hashem, the way Hashem's name is written and the way Hashem's name is verbalized. So there's your two Yuds, and that's Iyar, Ani, Hashem, Rofecha, said the Rebbe. It's actually belonging, it should be written with two Yuds, just like the Rambam says in Shulchan Aruch. So the Rebbe began to speak on this particular Fabreng, and he spoke a lot about this concept of healing. And I want to share with you something amazing. Something amazing the Rebbe said about healing. The Rebbe said that when the Torah describes the concept of doctors and of healing, and the Torah says that Hashem is the real healer, Hashem is Rofech Lebasa, the doctor is only a shaliach, he's only an agent. He has the privilege of being God's messenger. And he has to be mindful of that. Is to be mindful that it's Hashem's messenger. So, on one hand, the Torah says, "Verapo yirape." The Torah says, it says, the Gemara says, "Mikan nitan l'shut l'rofe l'rape." Who says a doctor has the right to heal? If Hashem makes somebody sick, Hashem should heal them. He says, no. The Torah says, "Verapo yirape." In Parshas Mishpatim, it says, the doctor will surely heal him. As a shliach, as an agent of Hashem. So we have this notion of illness, of malaise, of injury, of sickness. And Hashem says, the doctor will be my shliach, the doctor will be my agent. But I, says God, I am rofech al basar u'mafli lasot. In the end, Hashem brings healing. And the Gemara Masechet Kedushin tells us that when a doctor thinks that healing is in the purview of he or she, that they are the healer and that God is the healer, the Gemara says some very sharp things about that kind of doctor. He can be a very good doctor. But the Gemara says he's headed in a not such good place because he became full of himself. Because Chas v'Shalom, he thinks he plays God. You know, when doctors try to decide who lives and who dies, this is a terrible thing. And many times people said to me, "Rabbi, I got this and this prognosis." And I always said to them, and I will continue to say it to them, because I believe it with every fiber of my being, that the Torah gives permission for doctors to heal, not to predict. And if I could write a book over the last 25 years of how many predictions have come wrong, I could fill a book already with stories. Doctor said you're going to die in a week, the person lives for years. Doctor said you live for years, the guy dies a week later. The truth is we don't know a lot of things. And the doctor said, well, that's in God's hands. Of course it's in God's hands. We do the best we could. We appreciate the scientific community. We appreciate the medical community. And they're working so hard to find healing. And we're very grateful to the medical community. Very grateful. We appreciate these are superheroes. These are the people who should be honored. The doctors and the nurses at the front lines. But at the same time, we have to remember that Hashem is the true healer. And that when the doctor or the nurse or medical professional or physician's assistant has to know at all times that he or she is a shliach of the Eibishter, they have the privilege of being a messenger, an agent of Hashem himself. So this is the concept of Ani Hashem Refecha. The Rebbe said, on one hand, the doctor is the healer. Hashem heals through the doctor. Amazing. On the other hand, we hear of another instance, and that's what we're talking about with Iyar, where Ani Hashem Refecha, which is Kol HaMachla Shasamti Lo Yosem Alecha. The illnesses which I place, I will not place. The Rebbe said, this is the notion of preventative medicine. And the Rebbe said that the Rambam talks about this. The Rambam, centuries ago, spent many pages in the book of Mishneh Torah discussing the concept of preventive medicine. And of the Rambam gives you a diet, and he says, eat this and don't eat that. And I began to think lately, as I'm looking at the Rambam again, that many of the things the Rambam refers to actually are immunobuilders. The Rambam was talking about immunobuilders, things that build immunity. And this is what we need today. We need to build immunity. So the Rebbe said that in the medical community, there's two focuses. There's the focus, on one hand, of healing those who are sick. And on the other hand, in the medical community, there's a tremendous focus on how do we make sure that people don't get sick. Which in modern terminology, in our COVID age, we're trying to heal the people who are unfortunately infected. And we're looking for a vaccine. doctors and scientists are racing against the clock, desperately looking for a way to vaccinate people so they shouldn't get sick, to build immunity so they shouldn't get sick. How amazing. This is what the Rebbe was speaking about almost 40 years ago. The Rebbe said that the same idea that's happening in Hashem's Torah is happening in science and in real time. And it's mamash. I read this today and it was like speaking to me. I said, this is unbelievable. This, the Rebbe is speaking to us. He's so prescient. He was talking about ER and he said that both are correct and both are true. And Hashem on one hand is going to enable the doctors. He makes them his agent that they should heal us. On the other hand, Hashem will help the doctors to find a vaccine to protect us from becoming ill. So I want to say L'chaim. I see on the screen we have actually some doctors and nurses who joined us. I want to say L'chaim to the doctors and nurses. Koy L'choy, you should have gevaldike koyches, and none of you should chas v'shalom become sick. Hashem should give you the koyach, that you should be Hashem's shliach. You should always remember that you're Hashem's messenger, and you should bring healing, and you should help prevent people from getting sick. And Hashem should protect you for your amazing chesed and for the amazing work that you do. L'chaim, l'chaim, l'bracha. And the Rebbe said another nekuda about healing, which I want to share with you quickly. I want to share with you also. And that is, the Rebbe said that the doctor, on one hand, the doctor has to remember at all times that he or she is a shliach of Hashem. It shouldn't get to them. Right? So there's this spiritual element in the healing of the doctor being able to be humble before Hashem. And on the other hand, the doctor has to work to strengthen not only the physical reality and biological reality, but also the emotional and the spiritual reality, which also represents the neshama and the power of Hashem. So we see there's a spiritual element, an alter ego on both sides. I thought this was very interesting and inspirational. So I wanted to share these two points. I see Dr. Barrett has returned with a l'chaim. Okay, l'chaim, doc. L'chaim, doc. L'chaim. I just want to repeat what I said in case you didn't hear. The two nekudas, the Rebbe says, two points of showing how the concept of spirituality and medicine play hand in hand. The Rebbe said it's so important for a doctor to come to the task with humility, to come to the task with the knowledge that Hashem is the one who works through him. And it shouldn't be chas v'shalom by himself, because when doctors become arrogant, like any of us becoming arrogant, it's very, very dangerous. And then it's, I said, you said, it's a very, very big problem. So that's the first thing a doctor, the Rebbe said, actually the Hippocratic Oath speaks about that. Amazing, the Rebbe's talking about everything. So the Hippocratic Oath speaks about that. He says, in the Western world, doctors are supposed to know this, especially doctors who are B'nai Yisrael, or B'nai Yisrael should know that they must approach their job with tremendous humility and devotion and faith in Hashem. And on the other hand, that they have this job. The Rebbe said, today doctors are admitting this also. The Rebbe was speaking 40 years ago, and the Rebbe said that this idea of wellness is not a biological thing only. It's you have to strengthen a person's spirit. It's to strengthen a person's emotional state, a person's attitude in life, which is very much indicative of spiritual healing. And so here we have this synergy of body and soul both coming together. And again, I want to say l'chaim. And kol hakavod and more koyach to all of the doctors. As before, I move on to the concept of Beizir, l'chaim. I wanted to talk for a moment before I go on to Beizir. I wanted to talk a little bit about the quarantine situation, which has maybe a link to this coming week's parsha. Anyway, it's just a thought. But this coming week's Torah portion, once again, it's a double header. We have Achrimot. Achrimot is literally don't do what other people did, because look what happened. And I think that's something we all have to be very careful about, guys. If the medical community is telling us that we should isolate, don't play games. Please don't play around with this. This is very serious. Don't make people sick. You may not know you're infectious. There's little children, you know, and they're happy-go-lucky, and they're ill. They don't even know they're ill. And Achman al-San, an older person who catches us, and many stories have happened. Acharei Meis Kedoshim, there's too many Kedoshim have passed on. You have to be very, very careful. Nobody should play doctor. Nobody should be lenient about this. Follow the professional advice and don't mess around, guys. Very, very serious. I can't emphasize it more. All I can tell you is that as a rabbi, it's my halachic duty to tell you that Ushmarte Ma'od L'Nafshotechem is a positive mitzvah in the Torah. The Friedrich Rebbe once said, "Es steht in kein Artnish." It says nowhere, he says in the Torah, Ushmartem L'Nafshotechem, that you should guard your health. He said it doesn't say it anywhere in the Torah. It says Ushmartem Ma'od L'nafsho Sechem. It said you have to be exceedingly careful. Rabbi said we have to be exceedingly careful for our health and especially the health of others. It's not funny. Hashem will forgive us. We didn't daven a minyan. Hashem will forgive us. We didn't fabrain together. Hashem will forgive. Hashem expects us to do the best we could. He wants us to listen to His Torah. And His Torah says we have a sacred duty of protecting everybody's health. So we're in quarantine and we're in isolation and we're separated. And it's very, very difficult. People live by Meshuggah. Rightfully so. It's inhuman the way we're living. We as human beings, Al Pi Torah, we're hardwired to be social animals. We're hardwired to engage with other people. We're hardwired to share our life with other people. We're not hardwired to look at a screen. We're hardwired to have physical contact and engagement. It's very difficult. This is a very, very difficult period we're in, no question. So, well, we gotta cope. It is what it is. I'm not minimizing it. I'm with you. We're in this together, as they say. We're all in the same boat, but we have to work at it. So the parsha after Achim was called Kedoshim. It's called holiness. And I wanted to share with you an incredible insight of the Rebbe that I came across today and I studied today. And it's about Kedusha, about holiness on three levels. And I was thinking that this very much could apply to us in our quarantine situation. The Rebbe directs us to the end of the book, the book of Rambam called Kedusha. It's a book of Rambam called holiness. And by the way, the book of holiness is not filled with stories or halachas, laws of tefillin or keeping Shabbat. No. The book of holiness is comprised of the things we've learned about in the last couple of parshiot. It's about laws of kosher and it's the laws of forbidden intimacies. That's what it's about. In other words, because we all have innate holiness, don't ruin what Hashem has given you innately. And then it finishes off with the laws of shechita, with the laws of ritual slaughter, of how we make meat kosher. So the Rambam talks about a mitzvah called Kisui Adam, and he finishes off the whole book of holiness with these words. He says that mitzvahs should never be something we trifle with. He uses the Hebrew word bezuyot. The mitzvah should not be something, I'll do the mitzvah. A mitzvah is something you revere, he says. A mitzvah is something you cherish. A mitzvah is something you honor. A mitzvah you perform with the greatest dignity. And the Rambam says, because ein hakavod la'atzman shel mitzvot, if the honor is not for the mitzvah itself, who are you honoring? Who are you honoring when you do a mitzvah? Rambam says, l'misha tziva bohen, you're honoring he who has instructed us, who has commanded us to do the mitzvahs, Baruch Hu. That's what your mitzvah is about. A mitzvah is about honoring the commander of the mitzvahs, the one who gave us the instruction of the mitzvah. So don't like trifle with a mitzvah. We have to be very careful with the way we speak. We kvetch about matzah. We complain about this, complain about that. Chas v'sholom. Chas v'sholom. Mitzvah is something we have to revere. To revere a mitzvah. You know, there was a shochet that used to make wine for the Rebbe for Pesach. And he would do it till by himself, whatever, all the chumras. It was terrible wine. It was awful, terrible wine. So the story goes, one year after the first glass of wine, the Rebbetzin said to the Rebbe, she said, it's a Russian word, it says paskutzva. The wine is disgusting. It was awful wine. And the Rebbe didn't want to hurt his feelings. So the Rebbe would drink this wine. And the Rebbe's going to drink the wine because they didn't want to hurt his feelings. This guy who, terrible. The Rebbe said, it's awful, they can't drink it. So the Rebbe smiled at the Rebbetzin. And the Rebbe said, we just made kiddush on this wine. How could it be awful? This was their conversation with the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin. The Rebbetzin says, it's awful wine. It was such awful wine. It was awful wine. But the Rebbetzin said, kiddush on it can't be awful. We have to revere mitzvahs, my friends. We have to revere a mitzvah. And we have to revere Hashem who gave us the mitzvahs. And here the Rambam says something amazing, and I want to share with you a Vivaldic teaching of the Rebbe. V'hitzilonu milishamesh b'choshech. God has saved us from, you know, like you grope around in the dark, like a person doesn't know where they're going, like groping, touching. God has saved us from groping around the dark. In other words, you don't have to figure out life by yourself. People say, I'm going to figure out what's the path of righteousness. I'm going to figure out how to make life meaningful. Really, what, trial and error? For the first 80 years, I'll have trial and error. Then I'll figure it out. Hashem saved us from that plight. He says there is no trial and error. You don't have to try this and try that and try the other thing until you can find a path of righteousness. Hashem saved us from that. He gave us a path of righteousness. One. Two. The Arach and Sanu Neir. He arranged a lamp. A lamp. Liyashir Hamakshim. That we should straighten out the things which are twisted. And the Rambam finishes off with the words, Va'or and light, Lahorot Nesivat HaYosher. That we should be able to find the straightforward pathways. So the Rebbe suggested, the Rambam actually says three different things here. And he said something very interesting. He connected this to the idea of Kedoshim. He said, number one, the first thing is, we have to be saved from darkness. What is darkness? Eating not kosher food darkens the soul. Engaging in forbidden relationships, it blackens the soul. We have to be avoiding things which can harm. Things can harm us. There's harmful things out there. So Hashem saved us. He said, don't do these things because these things are harmful for you. That's one level of Kedusha. The next level of Kedusha, He gave us a lamp with which we can straighten things that are twisted. What does this mean? This means, the Rebbe said, that the world is very twisted. It's very twisted. It's a twisted place. There's so much perversion and so much deceit and so many lies out there. The world is a twisted place. But we can make it right. When you utilize the material world, the physical quantum physics that Hashem gave us, when you use it for a holy purpose, you're straightening things out. You take a world that's twisted, you make it straight, you make it right, you make it appropriate. In other words, the concept of engaging with the world and utilizing things for a sacred and meaningful purpose. That's the second point. And the third point is Or, light. Light is the mitzvahs themselves, the actual performance of Hashem's sacred duties, the responsibilities, and the rights and privileges we have to engage in Avodat Hashem. This is something which is light itself. And that shows us the path of righteousness. In other words, my friends, it goes like this. Here's how I want to translate it into the COVID age. Number one, don't play games. Stay away from infection. Stay away from other people. Don't chas v'shalom cause illness. Don't cause anything bad to happen. That's good. But it's not enough. We could actually go crazy. If we just focus on, okay, I'm staying away from people because I don't want to get sick or make anybody sick. A person has to also now ask himself, how can I find ways to utilize the present circumstances for something good? And in every situation, we can find the silver lining. Maybe there's relationships that have been broken, and you can fix them now. Maybe we can deepen our relationship with our own family members. There's always things to do. Maybe you can pick up and call somebody you haven't done in a long time. Maybe you can ask yourself, you can think of ways to utilize people's isolation or physical distancing to bring them together. There's always ways to do it. I'm 100% sure if you will think deeply, you will find ways to discover silver linings and to utilize this time for a positive purpose. And then finally is the idea of Kedusha. Kedusha is holiness. The holiness is, my dear friends, we have to daven every day. Say, daven every day, I'm not in shul. Yeah, that's true. You're not able to be in shul, but we could still do a mitzvah. We can daven appropriately. And we can daven even better than we davened before. Now you don't have to worry if you're ahead of the chazan or behind the chazan. If your people are talking, if people are not talking, sit yourself down, focus on the siddur, say every word from the siddur, and read it with a tremendous love, cherish the beauty of davening. Do your mitzvahs wholeheartedly. There's less of a rush. There's less of a lachatz of pressure. Do the mitzvahs as best as you could. And in this way, my dear friends, we will be able not only to survive, but we'll be able to get through this period in an uplifted way. And we really, really could uplift the moments of our daily life. I want to conclude with a beautiful story about the Rebbe Marash. Rebbe Marash, whose birthday is today. So I want to two little stories that happened at the exact same time. And one of them is interestingly related to health and wellness, very interestingly, and one's related to davening. But actually, first, Levi, bring me the igris over there. I found a very interesting letter today where the Rebbe writes to a professor in Israel who was asking about the history of the Chabad Rebbe's. And the Rebbe writes to him about the date of the Alter Rebbe's birth, the year of it, and so on and so forth. And then the Rebbe says to him, the letter is 1959, it's written. The Rebbe says, you asked me about the fourth Rebbe. So the Rebbe says that there's a book which already published about his life and times. It's actually the Rebbe himself authored in the early 40s. And then the Rebbe says, it is known in the family. Listen to this. It's known in the family, and certain Hasidim know this also, that the Rebbe Maharash would sometimes write in Latin, he would sometimes write prescriptions when people were sick. And the Rebbe says that he would write in the medical jargon of the day, even though he never went to university, he did not have a medical degree, but in his library he had many medical books, many of which were not in Hebrew, and he had a very keen understanding of the workings of the human body, and he had insight into healing, into medicine and healing. And he actually would write prescriptions in Latin using the medical jargon of the day. It's very interesting. Anyway, that's the Rebbe Maharash, whose birth is today. And I want to share with you, so two stories. There was a Hasidic town called Nevel. Nevel was known, in the Nevel, the Hasidim, they were very, let's just say, they were not always polished, sometimes rough around the edges, these Hasidim. They called it like it is and said it like it was, or the way they saw it, but they were salt of the earth, a heartfelt, devoted Hasidim who served Hashem with every fiber of their being. And these two young men showed up from Nevel in Lubavitch, came to the Rebbe Maharash. One was a big scholar, one was very learned, and the other was a very simple Jew. Very simple, unlettered, artless, uneducated, very simple Jew. And he was what you call like an Uber driver, you know, he had a wagon to take people from one place to the next, very simple person. And these two people went into Yechidus at like the same time, and they each requested from the Rebbe a path in service on Hashem. So the Rebbe tells the very, very sophisticated fellow, you should daven from a siddur. Look in the siddur, read every word from the siddur carefully. So this young man was very offended. He asks for, you know, he's Mr. Sophisticated, spiritual sophisticate. And the Rebbe is telling him to daven in a siddur, read every word in a siddur. So he tells the Rebbe, I would think that if I put a talus over my head and I sway back and forth and pray with great fervor, that would be a more meaningful thing. So the Rebbe looked at him and he said, really, he said, you're such a fool? What? That you should intend to say Hallelujah on one of the trellises of the shul? The guy walked out of Yechid, he said, what the Rebbe is talking about. Say Hallelujah on a beam, on a trellis? What does the Rebbe mean? He went to the elder Chassidim, they said, do we know what the Rebbe meant? And the guy is sitting and thinking, and he remembered that a couple of weeks before, when he was davening, he had been walking back and forth in the shul, back and forth, back and forth. And he thought to himself, oh, it'd be really cool if I start the Hallelujah on this end of the shul, at this beam, and then finish the Hallelujah when I get to the other beam. And he realized that his arrogance had overtaken him, and he was too impressed with his davening sophistication. And the Rebbe Maharash, as Sadiqim, have the ability to see. I just told him, don't be carried away. You just daven from the siddur. And I was thinking about it, you know, my dear friends, let's daven from the siddur. Let's utilize this time to daven from a siddur. Look inside, read the words carefully, grammatically correct. Just try to think what they mean. Don't fly into the sky. This will be a very meaningful way for us to daven, and it will put wings on our prayers, and it will make our davening more meaningful. I'm very, very sure of that. Now, the other young man, who went in a very, very simple fellow wagon driver, the Rebbe Maharash told him, I think you should buy yourself a Tanakh. Tanakh, you know, the Nevi'im. And you should, the guy couldn't read Hebrew, he didn't understand Hebrew, he could read it. And he says, buy with Ivritach. Buy with Ivritach. It's like, you know, today's day and age, you'll buy it in elucidated, with translating it into Yiddish. And any free moment you have, you should read from this book. Simple Jew, doesn't ask questions, never told him he should read Tanakh all day. So in between, he would drop off his passengers. People would get in the wagon. And off the wagon, he would read Tanakh. And this is how he went through. This went on for a number of months. On one particular winter evening, It was biting cold, freezing cold. He came home after a long day of transporting people from this side of town to that side of town. And he took off his heavy fur coat and he draped it over the cradle where the baby was. And he began to warm himself at a fire and sit down to try to have some dinner, drink some hot soup. And then he went back to take his coat off and he realized that he had suffocated the baby because of the heavy fur coat. He began to scream and yell and went crazy. And his wife ran out, there was no phones those days, and she ran to call the doctor in Neville. She came back 10 minutes later, and the dead baby is alive in his father's hands. Everything's fine. And so what's going on over here? He said, I don't know, I was reading today, you know, they never told me I should read from the Tanakh. So today I was reading the story of Elisha. And Elisha, he blew life into the nostrils of the baby. So he said, I don't know, I figured if the baby died, I just read the story an hour ago, I'm going to do what Elisha did. Probably it was called mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. That's probably what he did. But how would he know to do mouth-to-mouth? Never heard. Who heard of mouth-to-mouth resuscitation in 1880? Who heard of such a thing? 1875. So here, the Rebbe Rav Maharash told him, you read Tanakh. And as a Rebbe, as Lichtig Egen, the Rebbe sees, he read the Tanakh. I don't know how a Rebbe could know these things. Don't ask me these questions. I don't know how it works. But the fact is, he had read the story of Elisha just at the time he needed to read it. And as a result, he saved the life of his baby. And that's a story of the Rebbe Maharash. So the schus, the merit of the Rebbe Maharash should shield us. Our skashidus, our v'sein yosienu, should uplift us and enrich us and bring us blessing. And again, l'chaim l'vracha to all of you. I'll end again. I see we have some medical professionals joining us. I end again with a l'chaim to the doctors, yasher koach, for all your good work. It's appreciated. And you should know that, remember, you're a shliach of the Eibishter. To each and every one of you, utilize the time in the best way you can. Serve Hashem with as much joy as you can muster. Follow the doctor's advice. Don't make anybody sick. Chas v'shalom, don't get sick. Stay away from people. But it's more than that. If we have a time to be alone, we should utilize this time to find ways to enrich and uplift the lives of others, and that the things of Kedusha we do should be done in a way that's filled with light and with meaning. L'chaim, l'chaim, l'vracha, we should merit in Yetzir Hashem that this week Eliyahu HaNavi should bring us the good news that Hine Zeba, that Mashiach is now coming, and together we should be reunited in Yerushalayim, in HaKodesh, in the third and eternal Beis HaMikdash, the Meheira will be Amenu, Amen, L'chaim, l'vracha.